I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation on Radio Monterey.
Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies. And in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair and the owner-operator of Radio Monterey. And our guests tonight include Ed Pio and Ann Archer Butcher. But before we talk with our guests this evening, Carolani will share with us the energy of the week, the month, and the year in her Go With The Flow.
Well, thanks, Elazar. And here we are already in August. It's been an amazing year so far. And August is actually giving us a preview of the energy of 2015. Both of them are a time period that are devoted to the lesson of self-love. Now, this is a lesson that on the planet, we are still learning, have not mastered yet. And so if you feel like you're not quite there yet, you're in good company, because we're going to get lots of opportunities when the events happen in your life this month or coming up next year, or there's a little ripple in the current in relationships. Know that it's the universe asking you, what do you have to learn in this situation about self-love? And it's learning that balance between self-denial and self-indulgence. And some of us are really pretty good masters of both ends of that spectrum. But it's finding that balance of what is the true self-love for all of your bodies, not just one of them. And frequently, it is the mind that is saying, well, I'm in control, I'm going to make these choices. And I say that, okay, well, if I want to go get ice cream, the mind comes up with a reason or a series of excuses or rationalizations for whatever you think you want. And yet that may not be what your body wants. So use this time period to check in with each of your bodies and ask them what they want. What is the highest level of self-love? And then ask why. You know, if you want something, why do you want that? Because part of self-love is really getting to the point of both balance and doing the right thing for the right reason. And if we look at where we are in the month of August, as we open up to self-love, we allow the universe to fill our lives with prosperous abundance, with radiant health, with loving relationships, with a calm, peaceful mind that has access to great clarity, so that when you have questions that you want answers to or problems that appear that you think you need a solution to, you get a broader perspective. You get that clarity that allows you to answer any of the questions that you have or realize that some of those questions didn't need to be asked in the first place. It's just the mind and monkey mind going and going and going. So here we are up in the spiritual week of the month, and that is where we really can open up to the energy of the divine and just allow it to flow through us and feed and nourish each of our bodies, physically, emotionally, and mentally, with a higher level of fuel. And that's part of that prosperous abundance. Is it's almost like think of yourself as a plant or a solar cell that you're just opening up to receive all of that energy, all that nourishment, all of that fuel from your soul. Connect in with Helios and Vesta, with the sun and with the earth, and feel that you're just that channel between heaven and earth. And as you do that, all of your cells awaken. Everything feels a little bit better. Everything looks a little brighter and cleaner and more beautiful. And that's how we're meant to live our lives. You know, we used to talk to Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy, who we called our juiceologist, and she is a great example of living life to the fullest, of really making every moment, every day, full of that juice that is just the bliss and ecstasy of living life. And that's how we're meant to live. We're meant to thrive. So using August, then, as your preview of 2015 allows you to see this is kind of the previews of life's coming attractions, and how you handle August will also influence how 2015 rolls out for you. And what you realize is all those little things, all those little voices in your head that might still criticize you or say you're not good enough for this or you can't try that or place all these limitations on you, those are up to be reviewed right now. And this is kind of the great opportunity to say, let's transform those, because generally these areas where we have a lack of self-love is really based on a very limited perspective or programming that we've picked up that isn't based on truth. So here we are in 2014, a year devoted to self-truth, devoted to liberating our hearts and minds by that embrace of the spirit, of knowing that we have never been separate. It was all an illusion, that we have always been loved and we have always been embraced by the divine creator, for it is within us. And as we accept that, we adopt a different perspective on our lives. So this is the juicy time of the month. Make the most of every day. And each day this month is a huge opportunity. This week in particular, we're starting tonight one of our strongest portal points, which is a series of stair steps that lead to intense transformation, both individually and on the planet. And that leads us to Tuesday, where we have an anchoring point that is asking us to shine more of our love and light in the world, to bring out more of our authenticity and purity, that we align with our true blueprint for this life. On Wednesday, we then get that infusion of clarity. And if you're looking at where we are in the year, we're in the manifesting cycle of the year, you can take a look at what you're manifesting in your life and really get clarity for how you want that to play out as you move into 2015. On Thursday, we then have this infusion where if you can align with that energy, that perpetual flow of prosperity, that would be a great night, actually, to go play the lottery. But it's saying claim your birthright for this life now of that perpetual prosperous flow, to be in that universal flow of abundance. And that leads us to Friday, which reminds us that each of us are these beautiful seeds of God, and we are meant to bloom where we're planted now. So it's not time anymore to just hide in the seed. It's time to reach out toward the sun, to reach out with your light and your love and share your gifts with the world. It's time to be that bridge between heaven and earth, to connect with like-minded people, to connect with each other. And as we do that, we each give each other permission to shine more of our light. We encourage each other. And when we come together, we can create amazing, amazing things. So that is your kind of lineup for the rest of the week till we talk to you next week. And that, Salazar, I think is our go with the flow.
But we got to talk about the Virgo new moon, which comes up actually in early morning of Monday. But the Virgo new moon is also going to bring us more in alignment with our spiritual side, our spiritual quest. Everything this year is driving us inside in order to revise that, refine that, reflect upon that, and bring a new inside out, to bring out the true self of who we are out into the world. And this Virgo new moon is going to have that powerful influence at that same time. And at this, and it's also going to bring a grounding and a practicality to it, because it is Virgo. It is an earth sign. So it's not going to be esoteric. It's not Piscean. It's not Neptunian. It's really just a sense of, we've been saying all year, and we're coming to the close of this month of self-love, as you spoke about, and we're getting now this energy that's saying, go within, reevaluate, reflect, redefine, and bring it out. But stop waiting. Now is the time. And we keep saying that all year as we go along.
Well, thanks for adding that, Solazar, because that probably bears repeating. In this manifesting cycle portion of the year, it is imperative that you're willing to stand up and take action. It's not time to just sit on the couch and dream. You have to actually take practical action in each day toward those seeds, toward those dreams and desires, and to really log in your vote for what kind of world you want to create, what kind of life you want to create. So it's in our thoughts, it's in the words that we speak. It's in the actions we take and the decisions we make that we're laying down that path going into 2015. And we don't want that to be a path of complacency or a path of sitting by the side of the road waiting. It is time to pave that path and in a direction that you may not have ever experienced in this life. So don't be afraid to try something new. This is the time to branch out and try something new, to create something that hasn't been before.
Well, and I would like to use that as a segue, but I can't, because we're talking about something that hasn't been before. But what we're going to segue to is something that has been before. And that's Edward Pio. He's the founder and executive director of the International Mind Body Institute. He's been with us before, last November. He's got 49 years experience teaching medical hypnosis, self-hypnosis, deep meditation, the theta brainwave technique, yoga nidra meditation to both professionals, business organizations, and private groups. Now, over 35,000 students have taken his live or home study courses worldwide, including 760 men in Soledad Prison, located in Central California. Ed's lectured and taught extensively on cruise ships and in select groups in Mexico, China, and Russia. And Ed, we want to welcome you to Good Vibrations Radio. Welcome back.
It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you back, sir. And so
okay,
we
get up close.
Just a little closer.
Yeah, okay.
Get a little cozier with it. But Ed, one of the things, too, the last time we spoke about, and we've been exploring and exploring and exploring and have never seemed to really put together a time when we could get together with you to experience, have been these wellness seminars that you're doing to help people get through and learn. Well, why don't you tell
wellness us? Gathering.
Gatherings,
yeah. You know, you just got through talking a lot of minutes with you and Kura about inside. We have to go inside. What I find with all of these years of teaching is that's a nice-sounding terminology, but it doesn't mean anything unless you have tools to go inside.
He was going to say it doesn't mean squat. He was actually going to say that. That he hesitated.
Yeah.
he shifted direction on it. I mean, we're going for brutal honesty here.
Well, but it's grounding. It's grounding.
In a year of truth, we'll take that, right? But it's true, because if it's just words, that doesn't matter, right?
Well,
and a lot of us do need help with tools to know how to do that, right?
I think that's the key that I want to bring out with the interview tonight, is that I keep running into people who say they meditate, and I say, where did you learn? And they say, oh, well, I didn't learn from anybody. I just kind of did it. And I said, well, what are you doing? And I find out at the very most, they may be doing contemplation or maybe daydreaming. But it's not in any way, shape, or form, even light meditation, let alone the deep meditation.
Well, talk to us a little bit about what's different about the meditation that you share with people.
Well, the biggest difference is immeasurable by brainwaves. Is light meditation generally produces alpha brainwaves, which everybody's familiar with. It's a very pleasant feeling, relaxed feeling, mentally and physically. And what I do is to teach people to get into a state of attention that is very focused, and then drop the focus, which now takes a person into what's called an alert theta brainwave. And that is a major difference between that and alpha brainwave. So light meditation, anybody, I think, basically can do, whether you get a mantra from a guru from India or however you start. But if you do get a mantra, for example, you do get some instruction, then you know what you're doing. But what I find with all of the essentially hundreds of people on these gatherings and so forth is that people say, yes, I meditate. I say, how often do you meditate? That's number one. Well, I meditate on weekends. Oh, doesn't do it. Do you sleep only on weekends? Do you eat only on weekends? You know, what's going on?
Yeah, that's my schedule.
That's exactly. Well, I don't have time. Do you have time to do this? No. Well, I like the idea of meditating, but I have a guy right now, which it's really funny. He's very, very busy. He said, I want you to call me every day to make sure that I'm doing it. And I said, okay. So the first 3 days I called. Yeah, I did it. I did it this morning, and I'm going to do it this afternoon. Now, today, I called, and his cell phone voicemail was full, which means I couldn't even leave a message, right?
And I bet that's a day he didn't do it.
So, anyhow, it's the thing is this. We need tools. You know, we didn't come out of the womb talking. We didn't come out of the womb knowing how to do 2 plus 2 equals 4. We need to be taught things, and it's strange to me that people can go through a lot of the, quote, New Age processes without really any formal training to really understand what's going on. And it's not complicated. This is not rocket science, but it needs to be taught, and better than that or more than that, it needs to be practiced. You know, I can teach you, I can talk about it all day long, doesn't mean a darn thing unless you do it.
Well, and the other thing that we shared, or you shared with us last time, was that this is proven to be effective. And so if people have very busy lives and they're going to actually invest the time in meditating, wouldn't you like to move from something that's just daydreaming on the couch to something that really achieves the benefits of meditation?
Yeah, well, you know, let's put it in the same line as learning an instrument. You decide at age 40 that you want to play piano. Your mother tried to get you to play piano when you were 4 or 5, 6, and you always wanted to play piano. So now you come to me, and I'm a piano teacher. And I say to you, I'm going to give you a 15-minute lesson on how to sit on the stool, how to place your hands on the keyboard, okay? And I want you to see what your spread on the keyboard, and about 15 minutes of instruction. Then I say to you, I want you to go home to your piano, and every single day, practice this for 15 minutes. With kids, what happened is, as a teacher, you would have them put a star on a chart, right? With adults, what happens is this. Well, I didn't have time to do it on Tuesday. I got up too late on Wednesday, and I really didn't feel like I should do it on Thursday. Wait a minute. How many times did you practice between last Monday and tonight? And they said, well, I really didn't have time. Wait, how many times? Well, twice.
Once on the way to the session.
So, but the funniest thing is, because, you know, I have done over the years, more so in the past, working with cancer patients and seriously ill or chronic pain patients, that type of thing. And so what happens is I have a new cancer patient, just as an example here, that started last week. She's retired. She has nothing else to do. Her husband takes care of all of the house duties and so forth. So I said, I'd like to have you do this half-hour session twice a day. So I called yesterday, and guess what? She didn't have time to do it except three times last week. Now, she's got stage four cancer. She cannot make time to do something that I said to her. I can teach you how to create a greater immune system, actually produce more white blood cells, which your chemotherapy is killing, right? I'm not saying bad about chemotherapy, but here's the thing. Here's a person who has nothing else to do. So now, from my standpoint as a piano teacher, I'm saying, wait a minute, I can't teach you how to play piano.
Well, and it's interesting. I think it brings up a good point that we were talking about this being a month of self-love, and next year is a whole year of self-love. And yet, look at all the ways we sabotage ourselves. So the excuse of, I don't have time, when you've gotten your body to a point where it's that run down, right? And I'm not judging her, because we all make our own excuses.
Oh, yeah.
I certainly have, I don't have time is one of my favorite ones, is saying, well, what do I have time for then, right? Where is the rest of the time going? And if this, if my physical health, my mental health, my emotional health isn't a priority, then maybe it's time to reassess my priorities.
Well, part of that is our Western culture. Yeah. Actually, the culture in the United States is, I don't have time, I don't have time. I don't sleep. You know, like 73% of Americans do not get a good night's sleep. So they're sleeping 4 or 5 hours.
I'm not sure we have time. I'm not sure we have time for this answer. I was just teasing. Go ahead.
Well, oh, well, I see what you got. I got you.
And how much time should people be getting for sleep?
A minimum of 8 hours. Anybody over the age of 20, actually. If you get down below 20, they need more. And the fact of the matter is, our kids are getting less. Hmm. They're not only getting less, they're getting like 4 and 5 hours. And they're trying to make it up on Saturday and Sunday, which is impossible.
And lower quality sleep most people are having, too. So if they sleep, they're sleeping fitfully versus getting really regenerative sleep.
Well, the regenerative sleep actually helps happens during the REM sleep periods. And REM sleep, if you measured REM sleep, is, excuse me, the theta wave, the alert theta brain wave. So what we're really teaching here in terms of my course is to teach people to get into and create an alert theta brainwave for 30 minutes at a time rather than a minute and a half at a time during fitful sleep or none. Because if you go to sleep with 2 or 3 glasses of wine, you go to sleep with any drugs, and there and many Lunesta and those various things like Ambien and so forth cuts out the REM sleep completely, knocks you out, but there's no rest. And so in our culture, we do not value rest. We're starting to value food, nutrition, and certainly exercise. But when is the last time you saw a TV commercial other than a mattress commercial about rest? And that's what meditation is.
Unless it was an Ambien or a Lunesta. In other words, unless it was actually promoting the drug itself, not necessarily the rest.
So here's the idea. If as an adult, let's say at age 40, gets 7 nights a week, 8 hours of first-class quality sleep, it would be questionable whether they would need meditation. The reason why we need meditation in our society is, number one, for rest. Number two, for inner exploration, because we can talk about inner exploration all day long, as you just did a few minutes ago. Sounds wonderful. But how do we get inner? How do we go inside? We have to have some tools. And, quote, one of the tools, if not the major tool, is, quote, meditation, which is essentially a focusing of the mind.
Well, I agree with that. I was going to make a comment about the inner exploration. I actually think that there's different levels of everything, just like there's different levels of sleep and the different layers of sleep and the different layers of unconsciousness. And people without meditation, although I'm not proposing they should not use meditation, people without meditation can take a look inside and know where they're not living up to their own expectations. And then to go deeper with it, they need a tool such as meditation and things like that. So I think that there are levels of it as well.
Well, the thing that's critical with me is that the Creator put in this marvelous system of REM sleep, of a theta brainwave.
Was that Steve Jobs?
Yeah.
The Creator?
Yeah, the Creator. It's the person that ate the first apple. No, that's how it goes. Anyhow. The thing is that the Creator put in this marvelous system that when we are in deep, high-quality sleep, what happens is our consciousness expands, and the problems that we face daily seem to be worked out. But can you imagine if we don't do that, the problems of your day continues to add on top of each other, and pretty soon we destroy the body or we cause problems within the body, which is usually what happens as a result of no rest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now in our society, the answer to that is more drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I go to a doctor. I say to my doctor, I can't sleep. The doctor says, I'll give you something. The doctor doesn't say, go out and take a meditation course. I will say this, which is what is happening right today. More and more physicians are actually saying, find a deep relaxation course. So that's because the word meditation still has weird things for a lot of people from a religious standpoint, which it shouldn't because it's a mechanical thing. Hypnosis, for example, has even a worse situation. So my theta brainwave technique really is a combination of a number of ways to reach an alert theta brainwave. But if you sleep wonderfully, and I like to think that at 82 years of age that I sleep 8 hours, period. I look at my clock. I don't talk about it. I actually do it. And if I have to go to get up at like 6 o'clock, for example, I normally get up at 7 or 7:30. If I have to get up an hour earlier, I go to bed an hour earlier. And I tell you that, and I'm perfectly healthy. So people always ask me, you know, do you do your own thing? And I say, yeah, I do my own thing, but I do it 24 hours a day. I don't do it a half hour. That's kind of the difference.
Mm-hmm. You know, interesting thing, too, is that even as one of the treatments of PTSD, they're starting to recommend that they take meditation as well as deep relaxation. But they use both. Periodically to tell the returning
service. Can I talk about that? This is going to might make some people upset, but I'm going to say it anyhow. PTSD is kind of like some other things that humans have. The main question isn't the process of getting rid of it. I think the main question is, do you want to get rid of it? And I remember many years ago talking to a veterans group in Vietnam, veterans group in Marina, for example. They really got upset with me of what I was suggesting. And I sort of determined these folks at that particular meeting, those men, and they were all men at that meeting, if I remember, really were not interested in getting rid of PTSD. They were interested in building it. And I'm not saying I can't tell you why. But before you can make any change on whatever is going on, you have to decide that I want to make a change.
No, but I would agree with that with anything. I think that's – but I want to just touch on the question you raised about PTSD and just broaden it a little bit. I think we all see in life, most of us get vested in our trauma. We make our trauma a defining part of who we are. And as a result, whatever that trauma is – we want to hold on to it because we can't define ourselves without that trauma. And I think that's part of what you might have been experiencing.
And also we're getting a payoff as a result of it.
Well, maybe with the PTSD. Yeah, in some way we feel we're getting something as a result of that. Years and years and years ago, I think I may have been all of 17 or maybe 18, I met this aunt of a girlfriend who had apparently attempted suicide multiple times. She was the sister of this girl's mother. And when I first met her, and they're having this whole conversation, and I actually said to her, I said, I actually think if you're going to commit suicide, you need to be successful because it's very selfish of you. I mean, it's just a young kid being arrogant. But I told her, I said, it's very selfish of you to put them through all of this. you know, and you're still here smiling and saying, oh, I got through it.
I said, you know what? That's worse than what I'm talking about with PTSD. But actually, it's the truth.
It is the truth.
That's the bottom line.
It's really the same issue. When we look at it, we get payoff, like you said, from all of our traumas, whatever they are. But that being said, they are recommending meditation or relaxation techniques as one of a series. They've actually started saying, here are things you can do. But again, it requires a couple of things. It requires a commitment from the individual to do those things. It's like anything else. So it is the part that you were asking about. In other words, it's not a question of, gee, I'll go to the meditation and you can get rid of my PTSD. It's no, these service members are committing to take these actions and do these things, and they're finding that a variety of ways that they're able to cope. Because any trauma is about learning to cope with it and learning, and then as a result, learning to release it.
Yeah, I think that in our society today, you don't have to go to Iraq or Afghanistan to get PTSD. Go to the store and watch the people up and down the aisle. They're exhibiting the symptoms of that.
Well, and actually, they've done studies that most of the kids that grow up in inner cities have PTSD.
Yeah.
You know, by the time they're in high school. And so, you know, we look at that as more extreme cases, but most of the chronic disease conditions are either created by or exacerbated by stress. And these techniques are one ways of neutralizing or combating that constant stress on the body.
Well, the thing is this. If even biblically God created the world in 6 days and rested the seventh, that's a major message that the rest of the Bible may or may not be important, but that's a major message. In our life, we force our children until they're about 7 or 8 to do rest. We force them. We know that. Once the child says, I don't want to go to bed, enough times, the parent says, okay, you don't have to go to bed. But there's another problem with parents today with the 10 to 20-year-olds. They go to bed, but they don't turn off their cell phone. And I'm telling you, because I use my cell phone for an alarm clock, and the number of times that I get messages, text messaging, for example, is like 2 or 3 times a night. And I figured out a way to get rid of that, right? But nevertheless, imagine you're asleep, soundly asleep, you get a text message, you wake up. Now I have to be awake enough to answer that text message. And then I can't go back to sleep. So the young people, and I had a class of Carmel High School students who were the top. You know, they're 4.0, they're all going to go to Harvard or Stanford type of kids. Those kids were getting 4 hours a night. And they're playing water polo, and they're doing all of this other stuff. And they're burning the candle, essentially, at both ends. Their parents are allowing them to do it because they can't stop them. And what's going to happen
is,
or
in some cases, encouraging them to do it.
Yeah, and so what happens is they get to 30, 35, and they join the rest of the people in this country. Remember, we're 37th most healthy country in the world. 37th. Now, something's very wrong when diabetes keeps going up, high blood pressure, hypertension, all of those things that we see every day increasing keep going up. What's the solution to that? And one of the major solutions that we're finally going to have to come to is rest. So how do I get rest? Go to bed for 8 hours is one way, without any drugs. And that includes, incidentally, something that is really bothersome to me, which is the marijuana stuff. I think that California obviously is going to follow Colorado in terms of legalizing marijuana. I tell people with medical marijuana, for example, that to dump that stuff. I can teach them if they will spend the time, I can teach them how to get rid of the chronic pain. And you don't have to have drugs to do it. But you know what? You have to spend the half hour every day. So I can eat brownies or I could smoke a joint or two or three, and that seemingly is all right. But that produces, in my mind at least, produces a fog in our consciousness. And while we may be asleep, it's nothing different than taking Lunesta or Ambien. It does affect the actual REM sleep, which is where the rest takes place.
Well, I think you brought out a consistent point that I want to just reemphasize. And the consistent point is that there are natural, holistic ways which have nothing to do with any kind of an alteration of your physiology through some substance of any kind that we can practice on a regular basis. At the same time, you're not necessarily saying to somebody, don't have a drink of wine every now and then. You're just really saying, don't take the joint or don't take the wine or don't take the pill and make it the regular part of getting yourself relaxed into sleep. There are natural ways, and they can learn it through your wellness gatherings.
Yeah, that's it.
And we've even talked about potentially doing one here at the studio. We just haven't gotten the coordination together on my part, not on Ed's. He's always been right there and ready. But I think that's the important part of what people can get from you. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll ask the question. So we want to let folks know that this is Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani, our special guest Ed Pio from the International Mind-Body Institute. You can go to the guest page of Good Vibrations Radio to connect right over to the International Mind-Body Institute. And we will be back with more of Ed Pio and meditation and wellness gathering and all of the theta brainwave techniques and techniques that he teaches right after this commercial break.
Consciousness, the unequivocal, yes.
With Diamond Alignment, you can experience all the benefits of meditation online in just 6 minutes. Try it once and change your day. Try it every day and change your life.
The diamond energy of joy and equanimity will emanate from you today. Watch the world change around you and have a diamond day.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio.
On Radio Monterey.
I think that Radio Monterey was cut in. That's just me. I'm just kind of suspecting. This is Solazar, and we're here with Kira and Ed Pio. And Ed was sharing about his process for actually teaching people the theta brainwave technique, and we're going to talk about some of the process of what it entails and what people could expect. Is that?
Yeah, the thing, you know, that you know about hypnosis, Solazar, so I don't have to tell you about that. Okay, so what hypnosis and meditation of all types and deep relaxation of all types involve is focusing of the mind. It's as simple as that. And so somebody says, well, I can't be hypnotized. And I say, have you ever gone to sleep in your life? And they'll say, yes. And I said, okay, if you were connected to an electroencephalograph, you go through alpha, you go through theta, into unconsciousness, into delta, every single time you go to sleep, and you come back through those consciousness stages every time you come back to the waking state. The issue here is, in hypnosis, is turning down, is going to theta at a very low level of awareness. Meditation is, light meditation is going to alpha at a higher level of meditation. Deep meditation is going to theta at an even higher level of awareness. So the process, though, is very simple in all cases, which is focusing to the mind. And so we don't have to worry about the devil coming in and taking us and being out of control and black holes, and there are none. You're in complete control, just as you are every time you go to sleep. So I explain to people what is the process. And so to give you an idea, the process that I use works for everybody. It's certainly not the only process. You know, processes along this line are probably infinite. But I use three deep breaths, And I start with people who have never done anything like this, just simply focusing on their nostrils, breathing in as slowly as possible, holding, pursing their lips, and blowing the air out as slowly as possible three times. Then I do a body awareness. And this is very, quote, yoga, if you will, but it's very important also, which is to focus and visualize the parts of your body. And by the way, this is really interesting because I do ask you to feel your liver, for example, to visualize your stomach and to feel your stomach and to visualize this and that. I, for the first time in all these years, I had a lady a couple of weeks ago in Pacific Grove in one of these gatherings, a young, maybe 40-year-old lady, very healthy-looking lady in every way, said, Ed, she said, I can't do your body awareness. I said, what do you mean? She said, I don't want to know my insides.
Hmm.
Now, this is a healthy lady in every way, as far as I know. What do you mean you don't want to do your insides? Well, I know that I have a stomach. I said, well, do you know what your stomach looks like? She said, I don't want to know what my stomach. You don't understand. When you were saying, feel my stomach, I was thinking about shopping. She didn't want to do body awareness at all. So one of the things that that is important about this is when you do focusing, you need to be grounded. And so the process that I'm describing to you of body awareness is a grounding process automatically versus the creative visualization teacher who says, imagine a cable running from your tip of your tailbone to the center of the earth, which really doesn't mean very much if you think about it. So if you go through your own body and feel what's there from top to, or from bottom to top in my particular case, then what we do is at that point, a person is not only grounded, but they have the volume control on both the left hemisphere of the brain and the right hemisphere of the brain gradually turned down. In other words, they've gone in that short time, three deep breaths and a body awareness of about 2 minutes in length, they've gone from the outside world to the inside world. Now, the next thing that I do that is becomes a theta brainwave technique process is to get them to use the right hemisphere of their brain to jack up the volume or level of awareness on the right. With hypnosis, we don't want to do that. With medical hypnosis, we want to keep that low level of awareness. So anesthetic and other things can be done and programming can be done. But to learn deep meditation, for example, you have to have more awareness, not less awareness. So in order to do that, I teach a person how to do a mind movie. And so, for example, people here in the Monterey Peninsula, I say to you, have you ever been on a sailboat? And they generally say yes, or you know what a sailboat looks like. Well, I want you to imagine you're on a sailboat out in the bay, and there are a couple of seagulls that you can hear, see them flying above the boat, and you can hear the screeching, and you can smell the ocean air, and you can feel the boat moving, and you can taste salt. And at the same time, you can see the number 10 on the upper sail. Now, somebody who's listening to this for the first time will say, I can't do all of that. Or I have people who think they can do that. And when we get to the end of the first session, they said, my God, how am I ever going to do that? I can do one or two. I can see the sailboat. I can see the sail. I can even see the seagulls pretty easily. But to hear the seagulls at the same time of feeling the boat moving, at the same time as smelling the salt air, is impossible. I say, no, it's not impossible. This is where teaching you how to play piano comes back to. It's called practice. And so guess what happens is, after you practice for average person 3 weeks, 1 half hour a day, or actually 42 minutes a day, they are able now to start to get all five senses involved with their imagery. So it's not creative visualization. It is sensory imaging. So now if we get down to the lady with cancer, for example, 3 weeks from now when I give her the visualization to increase white blood cell production, which is basically imagining the white blood cells coming out of the bones, the major bones in your arms and your legs and bubbling out like bubbles from a soda drink, that type of bubbles. She's going to be, and then hear them, see them, hear them, and feel them. because I'll actually have her take a soda drink so that she can feel what those bubbles feel like up in her nose. So now that she's visualizing the cells, she's hearing them, she's smelling them, she's feeling them, maybe not tasting. I'm not sure how we would do the tasting, but maybe 4 out of the 5 senses. Guess what's going to happen when the computer gets those 5? The computer is going to automatically, by a, quote, magic process, which we don't have to know what the process is, will actually increase white blood cell production. Mm-hmm. Measurably so. So she can go to the doctor today, have her blood cells checked, and go 1 week from now and see that the blood cells, even after chemotherapy, have actually increased. So that's done with cool. with sensory imaging. Now, another thing that can't be done with light meditation is, for example, raising the temperature if anywhere in your body, or decreasing temperature anywhere in your body. In hypnosis, we can do that really easy, as you know. Or maybe you don't. Maybe with your practice of it, you haven't gone that far. But when a person is in a very low theta brainwave state where they're awake, but they are very, very low, I can give them a program to increase the circulation with words and probably with pictures, and they're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, we do the hot and the cold, but not with the same intent.
It's not with the, so, but the issue is here is that it's more... it's easier to do on your own than it is with an outside programmer. So all the stuff from anesthetic and analgesic and all of those things that can be done with medical hypnosis can be learned by an individual, done by the individual, maybe 105% more effective than when somebody on the outside is doing it to them.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's you know, we talked about one time about migraine headaches. It's fairly simple. Once you learn to increase temperature in your hand 3 or 4 or 5 degrees, you can also learn to transfer that to, let's say, part of your head or your back of your neck where the blood circulation, the circular muscles in the blood vessels are closing down, which is the initial symptoms of the headache, right, of the migraine, mm-hmm. before they explode out the other direction and actually beyond control. So I can teach a person to do that for themselves. I cannot get them. I cannot do it to them. I cannot do it to them. Even if they want me to do it to them, I can't do it because it is something that they have to do for themselves. You see how important that becomes? Another thing that you can do that I teach is to get rid of any muscle spasms anywhere in your body. Human pain, 98 or 99% of human pain has to do with muscle spasms. So if you want to learn a very easy process, for example, a marathon runner, what do you think a number one problem besides focus is with a marathon runner?
Muscle cramps.
Yeah. So I've taught with one session, I've teach a person how to get rid of those muscle spasms and still run. They don't have to stop to get rid of it. They can get rid of it as they run. These are things that I look at and say everybody needs to know. Everybody needs to know these things. But guess what happens? It's like everybody needs to know how to play piano. No. Some people I can teach, if I were a piano teacher, I could teach them to, they'll play Happy Birthday at a party and maybe For He's a Jolly Good Fellow and maybe a Christmas tune or two at Christmas. But are they going to automatically be playing a concert in Carnegie Hall? And the answer is no. And what is the difference? And the difference is practice. The difference, not just practice, but practice correctly also, incidentally, because you can practice if you practice the wrong way, right? So one of the things that I pride myself in teaching in the class is checking a person. I can't just let them go on their own. I say, exactly what are you seeing? Exactly what are you doing? And people say, well, I really don't want to do. I say, listen, I'm the teacher here. I'm the teacher. You know, I don't want to know all your inner secrets, but I want to know, honestly, can you see the seagulls? If you can't see the seagulls, I don't want you to tell me that you can see them. We have to figure out a way to get you to see them if you can't see them. You see the idea? So I always like to say I was a trumpet player for 70 years in my life, and I really should use that as an example. And on a scale of 1 to 10, at the high point of a trumpet player, I might have been a 6, by my own judgment. By my stand partners in the band, they might have rated me 4. But nevertheless, I certainly was never going to be a 10, because I realized at some point that I was not ever going to play in Carnegie Hall. So I adjusted my practice, and my trumpet playing was a minimum of a half hour a day, 7 days a week, no matter where I was. And it was only because if I didn't do that, I came together with the group, I couldn't carry my part.
So speaking of that, how can people learn to play trumpet with you? In other words, the Theta Brainwave technique, people can contact you over certainly at Cass Street and through your number, 831-298-7332. But do you have a class coming up, or?
Well, the best way to do it is to go to internationalmindbody.org, internationalmindbodyinstitute.org. Have you got that all on there? And they can go on there, and that has a lot of information about the classes and about the gatherings and about how, for example, the class curriculum. Is it on there? Anyhow.
Yeah, I've got a broken link.
Yeah.
But yes, I do have it, but I have a broken link. It's taking me somewhere else.
So anyhow, so that's how people do it. Or, you know, they're not going to probably remember the telephone number, but...
And they could go to the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com. And it's right there. But get the link. Don't use that link. I have to fix that link. Something's broken about it, and it's taking us to Gail McMeekin.
You know, Salazar, you got to take the course.
That
way you'll have less broken links.
There you go.
We'll be right back after the top of the hour. This is Good Vibrations Radio. Salazar Kirilani, our special guest, Ed Pio, International Mind Body Institute. Hello, I'm Salazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani, and welcome back to Good Vibrations Radio on Radio Monterey.
Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. Now, Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the producer of the Rota Psychic Fair coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds November 1st and 2nd, as well as the owner-operator of Radio Monterey. And our guest this evening is Ann Archer Butcher. Now, Ann Archer Butcher is an international speaker, award-winning producer, and a member of the Ekinkar clergy. She's spoken about near-death, out-of-body, and spiritual experiences, as well as the unique spiritual practice of Ekinkar throughout the United States, Europe, Africa, Asia, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. In her new book, Inner Guidance, Our Divine Birthright, Anne shares how she was swept out to sea and miraculously rescued by dolphins, cast out of her body in a near-death experience after a head-on collision, how she faced her fears and accepted grace. Let's learn more. And welcome to Good Vibrations Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be with you.
Well, thank you for joining us. And boy, that's quite the teaser just for the introduction. So can you tell us a little bit more about some of those formative experiences that led you to start sharing your wisdom with the world?
Well, one of the early stories that occurred was the rescue by dolphins from a shark attack. And at that point, I was really going through a transformation. And I went swimming on Christmas Day off the coast of South Carolina. It was a beautiful, hot winter day, but the water was cold. And I thought, it's okay, I'm a strong swimmer. And I went out, and I got pulled out by a riptide. And the next thing I knew, I was out where normally the shrimp boats would be. And a shark was coming right at me, and inwardly I was guided to do something completely different than what I would have done. I wanted to know, you know, does a shark have a soft underbelly? Can I poke it in the eye? You know, I'm all by myself out there. I didn't want to get eaten. And instead I was told to lie down flat on my stomach, turn my head away, just be calm. And I thought, oh my God, I'm, you know, just turning myself into an obvious come and get me French fry for this shark. And instead, I found myself lifted straight up in the air. And of course, we know, because of the intro, it was dolphins lifting me one after the next up in the air and straight into the beach. They didn't surround me like they do many swimmers. We've heard them rescue others. They actually picked me up because I was lying flat on my stomach, just making myself into a dolphin platform, as you will. And they then surrounded me when they got me into waist-deep water, chest-deep, and did this EEE thing all around, and then they did a beautiful, what looked like a acrobatic show all around me and touched my body, and I knew they were changing my vibrations. They were changing me, and I knew it, and it was beautiful. And I also recognized it as an answer to the question that I had been posing, to resolve these issues I was having. Are we all connected? Is there an interconnection between all life? And is all life good and loved? And that's what I wanted to believe. I was turning away from the God of my childhood, you know, the path that I had been taught to follow. But my mother had also been, you know, very open. And I thought, now I really have to step aside and explore and discover what was right for me. And after I walked away from that experience, it was a long time, actually, before I talked about it, because it unnerved me. It really shook me up. And I realized there was a lot more going on in the universe than most of us understand or are even aware of. And it began a really important search for me.
Well, from an early age, you seem to have had this interest, desire, or yearning to be able to talk to God or connect with God.
Yes.
And I'm not saying others don't, but others may not have expressed it as clearly as you to the farmer down the road. So where you asked him.
You know, it was really an odd thing, but one of my earliest memories is not of my tricycle or, you know, swinging on a swing. It's asking my family and then the neighbors and anyone I could if they knew how to talk to God, because I was certain that I had forgotten something very important, and it was God that knew the answer. And this wasn't a normal conversation or something that was, you know, just an extension of my family conversation. They were all shocked. And, you know, the neighbors said, you know, to my mother, you should take Anne to church more often, and, you know, you should get her in Sunday school. And, you know, I told her she could just say the Lord's Prayer, but she says, no, she wants to have a real conversation. So that was the talk of the neighborhood when I was a little kid, and my mother still talked about it years and years later, because they all thought it was so funny on the one hand, but significant on another. When my mother, you know, saw some of the things that were happening in my life, like the dolphin rescue, she was the first person I went to. I went straight over to her house and said, oh my God, Mom, instead of being eaten on Christmas Day, I was just rescued. She wasn't surprised, because she knew that I was quite aware, and she of the connection that we all do have, you know, that it wasn't just me. And she was the first one who warned me. She said, we all have that connection, but the world teaches us to lose it. And you need to remember to listen. You have it, and you want to keep it. And I thought that was the most important thing my mother ever taught me.
Well, that sounds like she also had an awareness that she herself kept hidden.
Yes.
From the world around her.
She did. She admitted to me later that she knew she had it as a child, but that she had lost a lot of it, that she had a clear inner voice, that she could hear with clarity, that she knew what was going on. But my mother led a very exciting and beautiful life, and so I think she didn't lose as much of it as she might have thought, or that she learned to pick up on it later in life. And she was a very spiritually connected person, for sure.
Now, I know your stories are what drives the book, and it's a story of many factors and certainly your personal journey. But for the sake of some of the listeners who may not have an awareness, part of your journey, actually a significant level of your journey, was really your introduction to Ekankar. Can you share some about your introduction and what led you to actually pursue this as part of your spiritual journey, your inner guidance, and your life?
Well, leaving the church of my childhood was rather difficult for me. Although my mother had told me never to let anyone tell me what to believe spiritually, and I believe that's important for all of us. So I certainly don't proselytize in the book by any stretch of the imagination. But what happened to me when I was teaching high school, after I had left the church of my childhood because of an experience where I'd been told there's something much greater than this and you must follow it. And I, at the time, was alarmed, and I tried to get the minister to talk me out of it. I didn't want to leave the church, and he said he wished he could go with me. And I said, "What on earth are you talking about?" And he said, "You know, I realize there is something greater than this, but this is my work, this is my flock, I can't leave, but you can, Anne." And so I was in that process of having left and really looking for what was going on that I began asking for truth. And I specifically was a high school teacher, and I was teaching English literature, and that includes a lot of philosophy. And my high school students were only a few years younger than I was, and they were asking me, "What do you believe? What do you think is true?" You know, when you're reading existentialism and transcendentalism and all this sort of thing, they wanted to know. And I realized I didn't know. I didn't know truth. But I began to ask before every class, "Dear God, teach me truth so I can teach them truth." And a miraculous and startling thing happened in the classroom one day. This is in a classroom in Indiana where I just spoke, by the way, just a week and a half ago. And I put my hand on the chalkboard to write a quote that I knew well, and I found that my hand wrote something completely different, and we'd never heard of anything like this. And my students and I began, you know, investigating everything. It was like extra credit for anybody who can figure out what's going on here. You know, any class you go to or any lecture you attend on the weekend, you know, let me know and let's see what's going on. Because it happened class after class after class, and the classroom became like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I was writing constantly, and finally we sent the quotes away to a research librarian at Indiana University because we didn't have computers, but she did. She had a big computer, and she wrote back. She found where the quotes were from because they weren't signed. Truth, I discovered, doesn't really have any one author. It was the students actually described to me that it was as if a portal was opened into the classroom and truth was just pouring in. And the research librarian came back and she said, "Oh, it's Aristotle, and this one's Socrates, and this one's the Lost Epistles of Plato." And I was like, "Oh my God, there is no way I know this word for word." And yet there it was, word for word. And more and more and more came pouring in, and we kept putting these quotes up all over the walls and hanging them from the ceiling and writing them on butcher paper and, you know, trying to sort out what was going on. And it happened all that year and then the next year and into the next year. And by now, you know, if you read the book, you find out the school actually got a little concerned about what was going on, but I gave them an option. I couldn't stop doing it, and I told them I can't. I'm giving 1,000% of myself, and they wanted me to just teach the curriculum. And I said, "My students are doing better than anybody in the school. How could you ask that? But, you know, never mind that. You can have me if you want me, but I can't change what I'm doing." And it turned out that the students all said they were being quickened, which fits the theme of your radio show tremendously, because that's what they were saying. Their vibrations were being changed. They were being quickened. They were smarter when they left the classroom. And it turned out that the school board president's son became National Merit Scholar. And when asked what had happened, he said that it was his English teacher, because he had been an average student, and suddenly he was one of the smartest kids in the nation. And so I got invited back, and I continued teaching there and loved doing so. And one day, it turned out that a quote came through that the research librarian couldn't find, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. She couldn't find them. And then a substitute teacher came in because I had a toothache. And when I left for the dentist, he did nothing but talk with my students about me and asked to read their journals and all these quotes. And then he left the school, and during the the after school hour when yearbook was in my classroom, he brought this gift back. And when I came in the next day, the student said, "See what he bought you? He wrote you a letter." And I opened the letter, and it said, "You know, I've heard of things like this before, but I never thought I would get to see it happening. This is really amazing, and I think you'll find the underlined passages in this book very interesting." And I opened the package, and it was a book called Ekinkar, Key to Secret Worlds. And I said to the students, "Well, I never heard of this before, but look, all these passages that the research librarian couldn't find are in a book by Paul Twitchell." And turns out he was the modern-day founder of Ekinkar, but I didn't actually know that. I just thought he was an author, a philosopher like Thoreau or Emerson. But Paul Twitchell had actually been the modern-day founder of Ekinkar, and this was one of his key books that he had written, Ekinkar, Key to Secret Worlds. And the students said, "Well, let's read it." And so we did. We read it over and over and over again. And then it was another year and a half before I was invited to Indiana University to audit their classes in education, and I'd begun to have quite a reputation in education, so it was a lot of fun to go down there, and I was working with five different professors, and one day I walked into what I thought was a dress shop, but they had moved down the street, and it was an Ekinkar Center, and it was full of books. And the student who was there, the college student, said, "Hey, there's a seminar this weekend."
I got to interrupt you, though. We got to tell people a couple of factors. One, okay. It was pouring down rain. You had You had no car. You really didn't even have money to go shopping, but you felt driven from inside.
Guided,
to go to that shop that day at that moment. So I'm sorry, continue.
Well, it's great. It's a great point, and thank you for making it. I was guided there, and when I ran into that college student with all those books about Ekinkar around him, I just practically strangled the kid going, "What is this? What is this?" And he sent me to the seminar that weekend, and I showed up a few minutes late, could barely stand not opening the doors, and finally I couldn't stand it anymore. I had to go in, even though I was late and knew that I might interrupt, because there was all this light behind me with glass windows from opening the doors. And there on the stage stood my substitute teacher. He's hundreds of miles away, and
Mr. Adams.
He's talking about me at the moment I came in, so he's about at the end of his talk because I'm late, and he says, "And the woman I was talking about just walked in the room," so they give me this big round of applause, and it's my first moment of discovering the teachings of Ekinkar. The people were lovely. I decided, though, that I would only follow it as long as I felt this flow, this incredible flow that the kids called a quickening, was so intense there I could hardly believe it. But it's never stopped. It's been decades and decades and decades now, and I'm in love with this path as I was in that moment.
Well, would you be willing to share with us one of the quotes that originally came through for you or that particularly touches you?
Well, I'd have to look those up. You know, you have the book in front of you. You might have some. But, the quotes from Ekinkar, Key to Secret Worlds. I don't have that book in front of me. Sorry. And I don't have them memorized. The way I was able to put so much detail in was that I have my journals. And
okay,
so I
we need you to kind of catch your breath, go to the blackboard, take the chalk, and just start writing.
And I apologize, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No one's ever asked me that before, but, you know, someone did ask me, how could I have included so much detail in the book? And I said, well, just like I required my students to keep journals, I kept journals. And so, you know, it wasn't very hard to piece it all together from all of that writing that I'd done through the years. In fact, in some cases, it was hard to figure out what parts to leave out and still have a book that people would want to read because I didn't want it to be too long.
So let me ask this then, shift this a little differently now.
Sure.
Is I think the strongest portion of your entire story, which you've also been sharing with us, so much of what you've shared is covered in the book, but we want the listeners to know that is not everything in the book. But it's really about learning to tap into your inner guidance, as you said, learning to tap into that inner wisdom, tapping into that connection. Certainly, Ekinkar has been an aid and support for you going through that process of your own growth, and you are one of the clergy. What do you think people can do who, one, may not have an Ekankar practice, or two, may want to explore an Ekankar practice, but in the meantime want to start tapping into their inner guidance and know the difference between that devilish mind playing a trick on us or our true inner guidance?
Absolutely. You know, it's some very good points you made. You made several points there, but one is that we all have inner guidance, just like my mother told me, and our job is to pay attention to it. And we don't have to be a member of Ekankar by any stretch of the imagination, but Ekankar does provide tools that people can use from any religion, and they are totally available for free for anybody to have. And one of the ways that you can do that is to enhance your vibration. And Ekankar teaches that there's a word that you can use that has that Ekankar does not own by any stretch of imagination. Again, that's an ancient word, hu. It's like the hu in human, but it's the God in man, because hu is an ancient name for God, and so it's recognizing human actually recognizes the God in man, that word. And by singing the word hu as a mantra, or chanting it as you would on a daily basis, you can actually change your vibration. You can raise your vibration and become more and more aware of what's going on around you. At first, it may not seem like anything is happening, but I often keep a pen and paper near me when I'm singing hu. I do it for about 20 minutes a day, generally in the morning for me before I ever get out of bed. I sit up and I sing hu, either silently or aloud, and I also do a spiritual exercise like that with my husband every day, completely separate, just as our sort of little thing that we do. And we sing this word, hu, sometimes only for a few minutes. We read something, a passage that we find inspiring, and we discuss it. And that's sort of the same thing I do with myself each day. I sing hu, I read from the Ek Works primarily myself, and but it can be anything. And then you can really contemplate what that means and what's coming through about your life so that you begin to really tune into that inner guidance. You know, I say anything that we put our attention on, we're going to get more of. So as we put our attention on our inner guidance, that also enhances the awareness that we have of the guidance that we already do have. So that's two techniques. One is raise your vibration, and the other is pay attention and acknowledge the inner guidance that you already have. And that's one of the things that we go into in the workshop that I'm going to be doing all over Northern California. But
just hold that thought, please.
Sure.
And let folks know that September 5th at the Best Western Beach Resort, you'll be doing that workshop in the Monterey area.
So yeah, we want 7 folks, p.m. Friday
night.
Yeah,
so we
night,
want
yeah.
folks to know that, and they can go to Inner Guidance Events, which is a link off the goodvibrationsradio.com homepage,
yep.
to connect up with your various events that you're doing throughout California. So I'm sorry. I thought that was a good place to get that in there.
That's great. Great. Thank you so much for doing that. I appreciate it. Now I'm going to tell them the third way that I like to help people to get more in touch with their inner guidance, and that is to pay attention to the signs, as if the universe is trying to speak to you everywhere, and you're looking for the messages. So it might be the words that someone is saying as you pass someone on the street. It may be something that someone you know says to you, but you actually recognize it as true for you. Sometimes it's a billboard. I had a billboard recently say something absolutely astounding to me, and it really changed the course of life for my husband and me, because it appeared to me again and again in a dream. And that's one of the ways, too, that the signs come through. Pay attention to your dreams. And so with those things in mind, the other question you brought up was, how do you tell the difference between the mind and true inner guidance? And it's that upliftment of spirit that you get, or the chills and excitement that you feel that signal that change in vibration, that higher consciousness connection that you begin to recognize, and you know, wow, this definitely isn't me. I'm not making this up. And this is really important and I can feel it. And you follow up on it then, and you can test it if you need to. I mean, when I was dealing with the shark, I didn't have time to test it. I followed my inner guidance and it changed my life. Sometimes you don't have time to test it. But if you do, you can actually begin a conversation with the universe and ask. And that's the fourth way that you can enhance your inner guidance, is ask in every moment. Ask, like I ask, show me truth. That's how everything happened in the classroom. By asking, we're indicating that we really do want to have that conversation with the divine in the universe, that we want spirit to speak to us, that we want God to guide us. And so it can simply be, you know, any little thing like, shall I have an omelet this morning or shall I have the toast or both? And the answer may be, both sounds good. And you may think that's your mind, but you say, great, I'll do that. And then later you'll begin to realize, wait a minute, the answer was something powerful and different. Like, wait a minute, I thought you swore off of bread. And, you know, and you're being reminded of things that your mind isn't going to remind you of. And you're told things that you might not even know. And then you suddenly realize you've started this discourse. You've started this inner dialogue. You're connected to your inner guidance. And it's deeper and more meaningful. And, it, you know, some people call it intuition. But it's not just an occasional nudge. It becomes something that you have that you can count on a daily basis, like having the wisest person in the world, I like to say, sitting right on your shoulder, guiding you to things that you definitely know you would have missed otherwise.
And we want to let folks know, if they go to ekankar.org, that's ekankar.org, they can actually get a free download, a 5-minute download of You song being done with multiple voices, so they can hear it as well as experience it. And I feel the other point that, I mean, you made several points that were certainly powerful, but the other point to reemphasize for the listeners is that when you said, when it's our guidance, it's really more of a feeling than a thought. And so when the thought comes in, chances are it's probably not our full guidance. But when the feeling is driving it and then the thought comes from the feeling, then chances are it is our guidance.
But sometimes that is slightly hard to judge, like that experience that I had about having a child. You'll have a child before you're 30, and it will change your life. And I'd been told I could never have a child. And so, you know, I thought, what is this? I'm sitting in my car at a stoplight, and I get this voice that says, you will have a child before you're 30, and it will change your life. And I'm like, what the heck? Does it mean a high school student? And it only becomes louder. And then I think it's my mind, it's me wishing that I could have a baby. And you might not know the difference. But when it's truly your inner guidance and you say, well, if that is true, then show me the way and show me what's happening here. You continue the dialogue, right?
I agree.
Don't just ignore it. That I think makes a huge difference. And by the way, on the hue that you mentioned so beautifully, thank you, you can also learn how to do it and learn all the benefits by looking up the URL miraclesinyourlife.org.
Mm-hmm.
Miraclesinyourlife.org. My husband and I are producers, and we helped create that little show at miraclesinyourlife.org that's gone all over the world. Mm. And we did that with Ekankar, but it's a beautiful introduction to the hue and would teach anyone what it's all about, how to do it, and the benefits. And that, I think, is key for everybody to kind of understand more about what it is and why you would want to do it.
And I wanted to jump back to the guidance when you said sometimes it's difficult to tell when it's a thought. And I'd just like to share from personal experience. I've had two occasions in my life where it was very clearly a voice in my head that wasn't mine telling me something that came to pass or that to just be aware of. And it was very distinct from me thinking a thought. So I just, my experience with the voice, as I call it, it was very clear. It was very definitive. It wasn't harmful to me or anyone else. It was even the first time I met Kira, and this voice said, this is the woman you're going to marry. I mean, it was a voice in my head. It was like, whoa.
Beautiful.
Ooh. And I chose to let it evolve.
Yes.
But it wasn't me thinking it.
No. And, you know, I even have this experience in business where I may be on a telephone call or even when I'm speaking, where my guidance takes over so strongly that I find I'm saying things that I'm hardly aware of on an intellectual, mental basis, but I'm fully cognizant of it on a spiritual, emotional level. And that's really far more brilliant than, you know, using the mind could ever be. And that's what raising our vibration on a daily basis leads to. It leads to us having that constant source available to us more and more easily all the time. That's really what people are asking about all over social media. I'm hearing from people all over the world. The book sold out in just 4 months, and that's what's, you know, kind of going crazy is everyone's realizing, oh my gosh, this works. And you know, and they're reading the book and they're trying the things that I tried, and that's kind of why I'm introducing Ekinkar along the way, because it's not that I'm asking people, oh, you might want this path. I'm really saying, here are the techniques I learned that anybody can use, and oh my gosh, how effective are they? And that's, you know, that's key. I think that's what people want. Give me something that really works, that I can try it like you did for 3 or 4 days, and it just blows you away. It's so exciting.
Well, there's two things that you said that I'd like to, again, reemphasize for the listeners. One is, you learned to listen to the guidance that was coming through and test it. You would listen and test. So you began to say, okay, what seems to be true or real or actual about what's coming through here? So you learned to listen and test. And the second thing is that you turned it into a daily practice of creating a space or creating a place for your guidance to come in. And that I think are the two things that when your mother was saying to you, the world will take it away, or you can lose it because the world will take it away or not let you tap into it. When your mother was sharing that, it was really the sense of we stop doing the things that are allowing us to connect to it.
Yep.
And that's what takes it away from us in all cases.
Well, we lose that lighthearted innocence of children where we're just completely aware of everything, right? These sponges, we're completely aware of everything, including our dreams and our awareness and our inner guidance, if we don't protect it. Because the world, you know, the world has its beauty and its charms, but it also has demands and tensions and materialistic things that are attractive and pulling us constantly. And we need to care about us individually. We are divine sparks of God, and we have a divine mission here, every single one of us. And, you know, that's what Ekinkar teaches that I think is so amazingly beautiful, but also gives us techniques to tune into that and a way for us to, as you say, test it on a regular basis, but with a daily practice, we change our vibrations so that we become much more attractive to that powerful spiritual force that leads us to the miraculous, you know, to actually achieving your highest and greatest purposes and your goals and things you thought you might never achieve. And it really is, it's there for all of us, and it does not matter what path you're on. It doesn't matter what you believe. That is what's available for all of us, because we're all great spiritual beings, regardless of our path. And I think we should give a lot more respect to each other just because of that, just because we're all these great, beautiful beings here, really here to achieve our own greatest purposes if we just pay attention to them. That's all it's really about.
And we want to remind folks that if they go to innerguidanceevents.com, they can see the schedule of events for September 5th in Monterey, September 6th in Palo Alto, September 7th in Roseville. But I have a question for you. Do you see yourself doing some virtual workshops, or will it just be physical workshops?
Well, I might sometime in the future. Just like these radio shows are, you know, documented and people can get to them all the time, I think that's sort of, you know, the wave of the future. But right now, I'm actually on a world tour. And it started in London, and we've gone all the way now to the Indian Ocean and beyond and to Asia. And Australia, New Zealand, and just had a fabulous time doing that. And it's the hands-on with people, listening to them. The workshop includes, you know, that sort of dialogue and discussion, and I answer people's questions, and they all get a chance to speak with me individually during the book signing. So that right now is the approach that we're taking, and fortunately there's a huge demand for it. Mm-hmm. And I am doing it completely on a voluntary basis. It's really part of my joy and my passion. I actually feel bad. I put this book off for so long. I always loved speaking, but I did not really want to write the book, and now I realize it gives people a chance to really study the principles behind what happened to me. They don't want to have a shark attack to get to where I got to, and so just sharing the principles and what I learned, and that really has helped people. So I'm glad I wrote the book, and I'm glad it's helping people.
So what could people expect from the workshop, either September 5th in Monterey, 6th in Palo Alto, or 7th in Roseville?
Well, one of the concepts that people are most interested in is learning to turn up the volume on their inner guidance. And we've already been talking about that here, but there's more that we share during the workshop and how to get to that. And I tell the stories in more detail and give exercises that people can do as well. And the other thing that people really want is they want to begin to face challenges and face all life with more ease, with more of a calm and untroubled state of mind. And we talk about how to do that, and that also leads to conquering fears so that people move beyond where they are to areas that they, you know, perhaps never even imagined for themselves. That's really what I've discovered, is that when we do the things that we're talking about at the workshop, it's not even that you've had a goal for this or that. I have been moved far beyond my goals in this lifetime. I would have been very happy being a high school teacher. And I loved teaching. I adored teaching. But what has happened beyond teaching for me is absolutely amazing. And so that's what people want to. And that's really about resolving karmic ties. And we get into the exercises to do that so that you get beyond your karma. And you move into both the daily miracles and step into a bigger place where life can really change. All life can change, and you can move. We always have a plus factor, don't we? Life is an evolutionary process, and that's what we hope people will walk away from the workshops with, is a sense of themselves, their own evolution, and where they can really go, where dreams can come true.
Well, we want to thank you, one, for the journey that you've taken, for sharing the journey with us in the book, and sharing your time with us this evening. Now, folks can purchase the book where?
Amazon.com.
Okay.
And you can go to innerguidancebook.org and read more about it, or find out where to order it if you've forgotten. Or, you know, it's very easy at Amazon.com, though. They're okay. A good friend to us.
So we want to thank you again. If you'll hold on for a second, we're going to go to a commercial break. We want to let the listeners know that they're listening to Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani right here on Radio Monterey, and we'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Kirilani. People have been asking me what I've been doing because I look younger and I'm glowing. Well, I'm here to share with you my magic potion. It's called Nerium, which is a phenomenal age-defying skin treatment breakthrough. In clinical results, people like you are seeing on average a 30% improvement in the appearance of lines and wrinkles, skin discoloration, uneven skin texture, enlarged pores, and aging skin. I'm seeing these great results, and so are my family and friends. So check out the real results at kirilani.nerium.com. And the best part to me is Nerium is totally plant-based, grown pesticide-free, no chemicals, no preservatives, and no gluten. Do you want to look younger? Well, try Nerium now. Nourish your skin with a risk-free 30-day trial. Go to kirilani.nerium.com.
Good vibrations.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio.
On Radio Monterey.
This is Solazar and
Carolani.
Welcome back. And actually joining us is Phil Wellman. And Phil is the one who contacted us and set up the interview with Ann Archer Butcher, which we certainly enjoyed, and we know she did. And Phil, thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you. You guys did a tremendous job. It was excellent.
Thank you. And actually, Phil, I didn't realize it at the time, but you were helping with the promotion of the book in the local area and the setup of some of this, weren't you?
That's correct. Yes, I was. Or I am.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. So I had passed to Phil that I so much dread working through a third party, but working with him was like awesome. You know, it was just truly awesome. It was seamless. It was painless. It was fabulous.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. But you also wanted to share that people can get the book locally here in the Monterey area.
Yeah, just real quickly, I just wanted to mention the fact that certainly they can get it on Amazon, but if they want to get it a little bit more quickly, they can pick it up at Pilgrim's Way in Carmel or Illuminati over in Monterey.
Which is fabulous. And then they do need to – do you want registrations on September 5th?
By the way, it's free admission.
Yeah.
Free admission. There's absolutely no charge, no pre-registration necessary at the Monterey event. Now, at the Palo Alto event, there's a $5 cover fee with pre-registration, and you can get all the information about that off of the innerguidanceevents.com.
Yeah, which is a wonderful site that lays. It's very clean, very easy to understand, and
yep.
Once again,
all there.
Want to thank you for taking the time to pass this our way. It's a great book, great story, great guest.
And it should be a wonderful event. It was just such a delight talking to Anne, because just talking to her, you could feel the vibrations lifting up. And so I imagine being in the same room and having those conversations,
yeah.
It's like a little vibrational boost.
Absolutely. You know, and it's interesting. I think it's certainly a subject that we all can benefit from hearing more about.
Oh, you mean as opposed to Iraq, the Middle East, and ISIL?
Exactly.
You don't think those fulfill our lives? And actually, one of the things, and I believe you would agree with this, but even if you don't, does one of the things I believe is sadly missing in our lives is enough talk about how we connect with our own spirituality and connect with other people. And if we spent more time talking and focusing on that, we'd have less of these issues in the Middle East.
Yeah,
no argument.
I actually believe, you know, that is the path. You know, when you listen to the news, sometimes you can start feeling a little helpless and hopeless about the state of the world. And yet by shifting our vibration, raising our vibration, that creates new opportunities.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. I mean, getting in touch with that inner guidance, as Anne said so clearly, can transform your life in a huge way. I mean, for the benefit of yourself, for the benefit of your family, for the benefit of the people you work with, you know, for the people in Iraq.
And I was noticing this week, I was in a meeting, and there was a lady that came in to brief. And she was just smiling, and there's just joy emanating from her, and
right.
It was amazing how quickly, in just a matter of minutes, everyone around the table started shifting. And by the time she walked out, now what she was briefing was, I mean, profoundly boring if you just looked at the content, but
yeah.
Everyone was fully engaged,
yeah.
Fully alive, and
yeah.
By the time she walked out, they were all happy. And
yeah.
And it makes it, it's such a simple example of how each of us can do that. Each of us can shift the room.
That's right.
And I was going to say, for those who caught that little explanation from Kira, she was not talking about Ann Archer Butcher. She was talking about somebody else doing a totally boring business briefing, but she shifted the room just by smiling and maintaining
right.
the smile. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's all of our responsibility, to shift the room.
Yes.
That's right. Like they say, shift happens, and it's up to each and every one of us to make it happen. Well, Phil, thank you so much once again for setting this up, for, you know, this interview, for calling in. And we want to let folks know that they can go, again, to innerguidanceevents.com or call 373-1153 for the Monterey event.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing them on Friday, September 5th at 7 o'clock.
And it's a free event, Best Western Beach Resort.
You got it.
So get it. So thanks so much, Phil, and have
a great evening.
Right.
You too.
Bye-bye. And actually, it was kind of funny. Phil doesn't know this, but while he was calling in, then Melody called in, his wife, to let us know, well, we didn't tell you you could get it at Luminata and Pilgrim's Way. I said, well, Phil just said that. So we want to
thank. And we would encourage everyone to support both Pilgrim's Way and Luminata locally.
Absolutely.
You know, when I was traveling through San Francisco, my favorite bookstore in the San Francisco airport, they have reduced down to like this little postage stamp in the middle of the hall. And I was so sad because, you know, bookstores just in the last few years, seem to be going by the wayside. So let's keep supporting the ones that we have because they're little treasures.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're fortunate actually in the local area to have two. You know, we lost Gateway up in Santa Cruz, you know, but we should remember to support them every opportunity we get. And plus, it goes back to what we were talking about with Ann Archer Butcher and about inner guidance when we said one of the key things is not only learning to trust your inner guidance, but learning to create connections with people. And we can't create connections necessarily by ordering through Amazon online. So I'm not knocking Amazon, but if we go to where all we do is sit in a cubicle and interact with the computer, then we're really not realizing the true essence of our humanity. And so when you're doing your Hue exercise in Ekankar and practicing that, because, you know, it's something you can practice without being a full member of Ekankar. You can get the information from them. But again, what's the important piece here? The important piece is creating connection with ourselves, our spirituality, our higher guidance, and other people, because it's not a gift we're supposed to keep cloistered to ourselves. The age of the hermits is long gone. As a matter of fact, I think that was right before they went from the age of the hobbits to the age of man in Lord of the Rings. I could be wrong on that, but I might have that piece of history misconstrued. But the age of the hermit is gone.
And that joy and love of life really comes from that interaction with each other, the interaction with our soul. Because at the end of the day, life is about having that juice, feeling that love, creating together.
Yeah, and actually, and Kara's the one who always brings out the juice. She's the one that actually labeled Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy the juiceologist. You know, Sark loved it, but it was Kira who labeled her that. But I think that's an interesting point of, once again, our purpose in life is to really kind of, let's talk about Robin Williams for a minute. In honor of Robin Williams, I went back to two of his early movies, The World According to Garp and, of course, Dead Poets Society. And one of the things he shares in Dead Poets Society, which is iconic, is that we need to suck the marrow out of life. So what are you doing to suck the marrow out of your life? What are you doing to create those moments of absolute joy for you? And it's not life doing it for you. It's what are you doing to do it for life? So a couple of things that I want to share about sucking the marrow out of life is I'm absolutely grateful and overwhelmed that Kira is back with us. We're back doing a live song, a live show. But next weekend, we will be at the Monterey County Fair. We're running the psychic reading booth starting on Wednesday. So we will be at the Monterey County Fair, which means you will have another opportunity to hear this show. So you have the wonderful information from Ed Pio about that theta wave, brain wave technique. to help relax and release and understanding that. And then you'll hear once again about inner guidance, our divine birthright from Ann Archer Butcher. And you'll have another opportunity to be reminded that not this coming Friday, but the Friday after, the 5th of September, is when Ann will be doing her workshop in the Monterey area at the Best Western Beach Resort over on Sand Dunes Drive, overlooking the bay, as a matter of fact. And Kira has suggested, and I think it's a great way to close out, so we will be back live on September 6th.
And certainly come out to the fair and see Solazar and get a reading. And I'll be there on Saturday night. No, Sunday night.
Saturday.
Okay, Saturday night. And it's a great local event. So again, come out and support the fair and have a playful time. Let your kid out to have some adventures.
And Kira had suggested, and I think it's a great idea, we're going to take the You song from the Ekankar.org site and use that as our closing for all of us to take a moment in our busy, hectic schedules right now to create our own connection to the divine. We want to thank you for listening. Many blessings. Please continue to listen, especially as we expand everything here at Radio Monterey for more empowerment, more moving forward in terms of improving our lives one step at a time. Thank you again for listening. Namaste, and here we go. Here we go. Maybe we have a sound issue here. So I apologize for that, but I will say this. We will close out with this.
Powerful sand.